If you have your Bibles with you, or if you have your phones, then go on there and get the digital Bible, 2 Timothy 1, 3 to 8. So that's a portion of scripture that we're going to read. And rejecting the spirit of fear. And this may be a message you want to encourage other people to listen to. And I encourage you on your Facebook, share the message. It really helps it to get that message out there. And I believe this is going to help some folks here this morning. So 2 Timothy 1, and we're going to start at verse 3. So Timothy, I thank God for you, the God I serve with a clear conscience, just as my ancestors did. Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. I long to see you again, for I remember your tears as we parted. And I will be filled with joy when we are together again. I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And I know the same faith continues strong in you. This is why I remind you to fan into flames a spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So never be ashamed to tell others about our Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. Father, I thank you for your word. And I just pray that, Lord, you would help me to communicate your thoughts to your people here today from this word, that it might encourage them, Lord, and strengthen them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning I'm going to share a message that has been on my heart for a few weeks, and it's about rejecting the spirit of fear that is so prevalent in our world today. And wherever you look, you see people trying to spread more fear. It's on our news, it's on our social media, it's in our government, it's in our politics, and sometimes it's even in our Christian circles. And it seems that people like to follow and get caught up in these circles of fears, giving their opinions, conspiracies, false information, and sometimes they're actually giving you true information. But the goal is to get people worked up, spread fear, and get a following or find a listening ear. And the sad part of all of that, I'm finding, is that Christians are using this as well. And I've seen a number of Christians using these techniques, especially on social media, messages, podcasts, trying to stir up people towards their cause, even spreading false information at times. And, to be honest, there's a lot of Christians falling for and giving ear to this and allowing a spirit of fear to creep into their lives. And just so that no one's feeling pointed at, I'm not referring to anyone's posts here in the church, by the way. So this is just other things that we're seeing out there. But you need to realize that there's a spirit of fear that's been released in our society, in our world, and there's a lot of people really gravitating to that. And as I was thinking about that and contemplating that, praying through those kinds of things, I felt the Lord gave me a word. And it came across quite loudly to me, which I found quite unusual because I felt, you know, this is a word for the church, but I'm not in church right now, and I'm not in a service right now. And so I kind of found that very strange that that came so strongly to me about this fear. And kind of the word that I heard very loudly that came to me was, my people, this fear that you're listening to and entertaining is not from me. This spirit of fear that is circulating in our world today, even through every stream, is not from me. And as I listened more, I heard the Lord say, have I not said, do not be afraid? Have I not said that I am with you? Have I not said that I'm bigger than your fears? Have I not said that I am God and there's nothing too hard for me to do? Don't belittle your God. Fear is not from me. And as I heard that, I thought, man, that's a really good word. And I made the mistake by saying, well, you know, I'm glad I'm not caught up in that fear, falling for those kinds of things. And just as I had that thought in my mind, the Lord spoke again and was very directed towards it. And as for you, are you not worrying about some things in your own life? And what is worry? And I had to respond because I know what worry is. Worry is a form of fear. And again, I heard repeated, have I not said, be not afraid? Have I not said that I'm bigger than your fears? Have I not said that I am God and nothing is too hard for me to do? Don't belittle your God. Fear is not from me. And as I heard those words from the Lord, then scriptures just started, you know, coming to mind. And I'm going to just refer to a few of them because there's lots of them that came to mind. But Isaiah 41:10 is a good one there. Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. Psalm 2:1-4, talking about our world, says, why are the nations so angry? Why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle. The rulers plot together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they cry, and free ourselves from the slavery to God. But the one who rules in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Psalm 23, the shepherd's song. Even when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod, your staff protect and comfort me. I think that song that our worship team sang earlier, if they could sing that again after this message, that I will not be afraid. Matthew 28:20, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And more scriptures kept coming to mind, but the main message that God was wanting all of us to know is that this fear that is being promoted in our world today, this worry that is troubling us, he's telling us, this is not from me. It's not from him. And if you're here today and maybe there's some thoughts of fears or things that are troubling you or tormenting you that is causing fear in your life, you need to realize it is not from God. It is not him. It's not him. And as we go back to the scripture where God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. We need to realize, and Paul was speaking to Timothy, a young pastor at the time, young man in ministry, and obviously Timothy was getting overwhelmed with ministry and becoming timid and dealing with some of the problems that he was facing in the church. And so Paul writes to him to encourage him to say, don't allow that fear to start to consume you and to take over. You know, and sometimes, you know, we need to realize that even godly people need to be reminded not to give in to a spirit of fear. And so the Apostle Paul reminds Timothy that this fear, this timidness, this spirit can grip even the best of us, but it is not from God. God is not in it. God did not send it. And we certainly shouldn't be spreading it. However, the Apostle Paul goes on to say what God has sent and what God has given us. And that's where I'm going to be focusing this message on, because we don't want to be talking just about fear. We want to talk about the things that defeat fear and the true spirit that God has given to us, that we might reject the spirit of fear that is so prevalent in our world and in our society today. So instead of tolerating or giving place to the spirit of fear, God has given us another kind of spirit that he wants us to operate in, that spirit of fear would be cast out of our lives. And so that's where I want to focus on here this morning, the things that we need to be looking to get rid of that fear and that we don't succumb to it. And so the first thing we need to do in rejecting the spirit of fear is fan into flame the giftings and callings that God has given to us. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. You know, sometimes we need to remind ourselves of the time when we came to faith and where God put an excitement within us, a calling, a dream, a ministry, or that we were involved in some area of ministry in our churches. And those dreams, those visions, those plans, you know what? They can still happen. They're not over. We just need to remind ourselves to get our focus back on the things of God. And really, that's kind of a message that you see throughout the Bible. You come to the book of Revelations and tells us in Revelations 3:3, it says, go back to what you heard and believed at first. Hold to it firmly. Repent, turn to me again. And so it's telling us, get back to where we should be with God. That's usually when fear starts to multiply in our lives, usually that means that we're not where we should be spiritually. So we got to get back to where we should be with God. Get back to what we were doing before. Get back to fulfilling your dreams, doing the work that God has called you to do, where fear wasn't a problem. Instead, there was faith. There was excitement in your heart. General Booth, he was the head of the Salvation Army and that religious organization, and said these words to all of the ministers that were under him. He said, the tendency of fire is to go out. Watch the fire on the altar of your heart. And that's something we all need to do, that we need to keep feeding the fire in our lives, because if we don't keep feeding it, it can quickly go out if we're not paying attention to that fire. So to be free of this spirit of fear, we need to fan the flames, stir our own fire back up again, get back to using the giftings that God has given to us, where we had faith, where we were excited about God and the things of God. Get back to the fire. Get back into the atmosphere with people who are hungry for more, and pick up those gifts that God gave you and get busy using them. Operate where God has equipped you. You know, there's opportunity after opportunity that is out there in our world right now. I find it's very easy to share your faith with people today. That they're open to that. They're open. They're asking questions, and we need to be ready to minister to them. So your dreams, your visions, your giftings, your joy, your happiness. I want to tell you, your ministries are not over. Fan the flames again. Get back to where you should be with God, and you'll see that spirit of fear fading away and eventually going away entirely. Then secondly, in rejecting the spirit of fear, we need to pursue the spirit of power that comes from the Holy Spirit. See, God does not leave us defenseless, but has given us a spirit of power. And we need to pursue that spirit and feed that spirit of power in our lives, because God is wanting to empower each and every one of us that we might rise up above our circumstances. 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power. That's the spirit God wants us to operate out of. You know, we need the power of God in our lives through the Holy Spirit. And it's something that God wants for all of us to have, to experience. And I think we need to be asking, Lord, give me a fresh touch. I want a fresh touch of your Holy Spirit. I want you to empower me, to touch me, that I might rise above those things that are causing worry or causing fear in my life, to ask God, God, give me a fresh baptism of your power. Fear is not from God. And to help us overcome those fears, God has given us the Holy Spirit that wants to empower us. And God says, it's a gift. It's a gift. I'm giving it to you. Receive that gift. And Jesus, he spoke of this gift just before his ascension, and he said that this gift is available to us, and he told the disciples and told us in our present age as well, if we want this, to seek it and wait for it. That's what they did. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, Jerusalem through Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. And so God has not given us a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of power, of strength, of courage, of boldness, of authority. And that's where we should be spending our time seeking and operating in. For when we start to operate under the spirit of power, the spirit of fear really has no chance. Pursue the power that the Holy Spirit can give us. Draw close to God, the Bible says, and he will draw close to you. Be in an atmosphere where God is lifted up and moving. Be around Christians that are solid in their faith and pursue a fresh openness to the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Holy Spirit in your life. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to flow through you, that you might tell that fear where to go. And keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord. Keep those communication lines open, because we need to keep filling ourselves. Because we do. We empty out. So we need to keep filling ourselves with that power and that strength to rise up within us, that fear will no longer be tolerated in our lives. That's what the Apostle Paul said. I'm praying that for you. I'm praying this for the Ephesian church. And we see that in Ephesians 3:16. It says, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. So that's how we get that new strength. That's how we get that power in our lives, is through his Holy Spirit. And so seek a fresh baptism of power from the Holy Spirit. Seek a fresh boldness, fresh strength, fresh confidence, fresh courage, because God wants you to have that today, to come against the spirit of fear that is so prevalent in our world today. The spirit of power will put the spirit of fear to flight. Then thirdly, in rejecting the spirit of fear, we're to pursue the spirit of love. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love. And for us Christians, this is really supposed to be one of the main characteristics of our faith and our lifestyle. You know, getting back to loving Jesus and loving one another. Welcoming a spirit of love to fill our lives. You know, love is one of the most important characteristics that the Bible says that we should have. And it says to pursue love over everything else. 1 Corinthians speaks a lot about the importance of love. Even tells us that it is the greatest gift that we can have over all the other spiritual gifts that God offers us. And he says, if you don't have this one thing, this love, then really all we are is just an annoying noise. The greatest of all gifts is love. So we want to have a spirit of love inside of us. And we want to keep loving one another and keep love at the forefront of our lives. 1 Corinthians 16:13-14 says, be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, do everything in love. So that courage, that strength that comes from the Holy Spirit, also comes a love that he can also impart within us, that we have the love of Jesus inside of us that begins to flow out of us and touches others. And when we have that love, fear doesn't stand a chance. You know, the Bible also says that love is a command. It's not an optional thing. We need to be pursuing that we would have all a spirit of love within us. John 13:34-35 says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Have you recognized in our society today that, you know, it's trying to encourage people not to love one another? Even in the church, don't love one another. You know, because there's some people are this way, some people are that way, and we're trying to bring division. No, the Bible says we need to pursue that spirit of love. Pray for a fresh spirit of love to flow out of each of us. For that's the kind of spirit that God wants to impart in our lives and wants to see come out of our lives. And you know, that love is so important, because it tells us, 1 John 4:18, such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. So get close to Jesus, get filled up with the Spirit of God, get filled up with the love of God, and you know what happens? Fear goes. Because fear can't stay in that atmosphere. It can't stay there. So it leaves. So maybe we'd be praying and asking, Lord, more love. More love, Lord. More power. More of you in my life. I want the love of Jesus to flow out of my life. I want a spirit of love to be upon me and to flow through me. That's what God desires. That's the kind of spirit that God wants us to have instead of a spirit of fear. And then fourthly, in rejecting a spirit of fear, we need to pursue a spirit of self-discipline. Some other translations say self-control. Other translations says a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." And again, that's an area today that we're seeing Christians being encouraged to abandon this. That don't worry about self-discipline. Don't worry about self-control. Don't worry about a sound mind. And sometimes, you know, we can be listening to the wrong people, the wrong culture, the media, the lies, false doctrines that are out there. And we really need to be careful of what we're allowing ourselves to hear, to see, to read, or even who we hang around with. Fill yourself with good things. Hang around people with proven character. Be careful of people who treat others unfairly, who treat sin lightly, who avoid repenting of their sinful ways. And we're seeing that even as you check out there, you see sometimes even ministers that are avoiding repentance, that they're doing things they shouldn't be doing, and they're avoiding repentance. Be careful of people that promote confusing new doctrines, who live differently than what they preach. Because the spirit of confusion is very close to the spirit of fear. They're cellmates, very close together. So seek people out that are disciplined in their lives, that actually practice the word of God. People of good reputation, people who are solid in their faith. The Apostle Paul, speaking to the Roman church, kind of spells it out pretty clearly. Well, what do we do with self-discipline? What are the things that we need to be concerned about? And he makes it very, very plain. Romans 13, verses 13 to 14 says, "Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties, drunkenness, sexual promiscuity, immoral living, and quarreling, jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourselves think about ways to indulge your evil desires." You know, there's a lot of preachers out there, sad to say, that are trying to tell us that all these lifestyles are all okay today. That is not the truth. That is not the word. That God didn't say that. God didn't say that. So friends, as Christians, we are to live differently. We are to have higher standards in our faith and in our walk. We are not free to do whatever we want to do. The Bible says you've been bought with a price, that precious blood of Jesus Christ. And as followers of Christ, then we are to apply discipline, sound teaching, self-control in our lives, even denying ourselves of things that we might honor God with our lives. Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you want to be my follower, you must give up your own way," or "you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." So if you're really going to be practicing self-discipline and being a Christian, you're going to live differently. Even being willing to give up some of those things in your own life that maybe you want to do, but you lay them aside for the honor of Christ. And that can be a battle at times, depending where you're coming from or what area of temptation maybe has hit you. That can be hard at times. However, God is in the helping business here, wanting to give us, again, a spirit of self-discipline, a desire, an anointing, and an empowerment to help us to be strong and stable in our faith that will help us to keep fear at bay. And so we need to work at this spirit of self-discipline, sound teaching, self-control, that we might have a sound mind, be strong in our faith, rejecting every fear that comes our way. Because fear is not from Him. And all the areas that you're seeing out there in our world today where fear is being promoted, God wants to be really clear to us. It's not me. That is not me. God is wanting to help us deal with any spirit of fear that may be trying to attach itself to us. Even those forms of fear, such as worry, Because fear is not from God. God wants us to know that really, really clearly. It is not Him. It's not Him. He's not the one promoting it. If you see other Christians promoting it, it's not Him. They're not representing the Lord. So we need to stay away from those influences and even from people that are spreading fear. Instead, we need to pursue and keep our eyes on Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Keep drawing closer to Him. Pursue the spirit of power, spirit of love, spirit of self-discipline and a sound mind. That's what we need to dispel and reject the spirit of fear that is trying so hard to hinder God's people today. The spirit of fear can come from many sources, not just from media, not just from news and all those kinds of things, but sometimes from circumstances that happen in our lives. Sometimes we can be deceived. Sometimes we hear lies and we start to believe lies. Sometimes anger, we get angry. Sometimes outrage. I was reading one article of a religious magazine. It says the spirit of outrage is rising up in churches today. Not a good thing. Sometimes control, sometimes offense, sometimes fear of the future. Lots of things can bring fear in our hearts. And so we need to break all forms of fear where fears come in and reject that fear in the name of Jesus. So we need to say, fear, I no longer accept your lies in my life, because that's what fear is. It's making you believe lies. And so you say, Lord, I am no longer going to accept those lies in my life. I'm going to command you, fear, to go. You are not from God, and I no longer partner with you. I am God's child. I am a follower of Jesus. I'm going to stir up those flames of the spirit of power, love, and self-discipline once again in my life. I'm welcoming Holy Spirit to help me today, that I will rise above my fears that have been tormenting me, because I belong to Jesus. He is mine. And so fear has to go. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, power, love, self-discipline.